Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I am so honored to have as my two guests today, Brent Messer, who is Chief Information Officer in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and my friend Jed Crasher. And in Chattanooga, they have municipal internet. And I just want to let the people know in Albany how it's benefiting Chattanooga. And I want Judd to give an overview of the initiatives that he's done so far in getting municipal internet in Albany. So, Judd, why don't you start? Where'd you get the idea for that?
Well, it came about from a variety of different ways. First of all, we have a problem in the city of Albany with low-income earners not having access to internet, and that presents a whole host of challenges for them. And for those who have the ability to afford internet in the city of Albany, I don't think there's one person in the city who would tell you that Time Warner Cable, which is the only internet provider in the city, that they do a good job, that they pay too much for, generally speaking, poor service. And more this concept is emerging, and it's absolutely true that access to internet is not a luxury. As a matter of fact, I believe it was in Canada, their highest court recently ruled that access to internet is a right. So we need to move away. We have to understand that we are in a different sort of age, and that access to internet is absolutely critical for people to operate in this modern world. And I looked around, and Chattanooga really, in so many ways, represents the gold standard, I think, for municipal internet. And I think we need to, in the city of Albany, take a look at Chattanooga, what they have done, what other municipalities have done throughout the country and internationally, and explore the feasibility of it. So that's where we are right now in Albany, is I just want to get the ball rolling on looking into the feasibility, the logistics, the financing of making this idea a reality. So it's even earlier than its infancy, but it is curious and also frustrating that the current administration and the council majority tends to be skeptical of this idea, that it is a non-starter because it's just simply too big and going to cost too much money, and therefore they don't even want to look into the feasibility of it, which, you know, that sort of exploration would cost the city absolutely nothing. And I think when you look at these places such as Chattanooga and the tremendous economic development growth that has resulted from it, the ability to maintain young people in the city has been a really fantastic model. And I think we need to do what we can to guarantee that every citizen, no matter where you are in the income bracket, has access to internet. So we're just starting. We're not even crawling yet as far as, moving towards municipal internet. We got to actually get the will to get the ball rolling on this and start exploring the feasibility. But the dream is to have a system that's very similar and successful as what's in Chattanooga.
So, Brent, when municipal internet, tell us about the infancy, when it was first implemented, and was there pushback? Or just tell us a little bit about what transpired when it was first proposed.
Okay. Yeah, so back in 2008, our municipally owned power company, EPB, or Electric Power Board, decided that they were going to install a smart grid technology using fiber. So we got grants from the Department of Energy, plus we put money together here in the city and had pretty much unanimous vote from council and mayoral staff this entire smart grid system. And one of the benefits of doing so was we had a fiber infrastructure that was more than close to 900 square miles. So we're in the county of Hamilton County, Tennessee, and we service areas surrounding Hamilton County. So when we first started implementing it, there's been a lot of pushback as to the expense, because it is very expensive to do. And then, of course, the local cable companies, they tend to fight it. The state of Tennessee actually has fought it to some degree, not wanting us to expand just because of, you know, agreements that they have with some of the cable companies. So there is quite a regardless of the benefits, there's been quite a bit of pushback. But overall, it's been quite successful, and the fruits of these labors are just now starting to show up.
When it was first done, for the cost of the implementation?
The total costs were roughly around about $180 some million. 111 of that we got from the federal government as a stimulus grant from the Department of Energy, and then the rest of it was funded through various areas here in Chattanooga.
And overall, how has municipal internet benefited the citizens as well as businesses?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. What the local cable companies can provide is about 100 megs or less of down speed and probably 25 to 50 megs per second of up speed. What we can provide is 1,024, so a full gigabyte of down speed, both up and down, and we do it for a fraction of the cost that they charge for 100 megs. So our constituents can get a gigabyte worth of service for $69 a month. And in some of the lower income areas, we have a program we just started where it's even less than that.
At some point, do you think that municipal internet is going to take over and leave the cable companies behind? I mean, you think everything's going to be done through municipal internet and the cable companies won't have any say?
I'm hoping so, and I'll put it to you this way. I think the cable companies died about 3 years ago to 4 years ago when Netflix and Amazon started taking over and making their own content. It's now all about content. And Judd said earlier that, you know, it's kind of required for modern living. And it is. It really is, because we're on the verge of the Internet of Things, where everything's going to be communicating with everything else. We're working on applications now here in the city that our parking meters can talk to apps on the phones and tell people where to go to kind of reduce traffic volume and things like that. But, yeah, I really think that it is the future. I think that I'm hoping that the FCC gets on board. I'm hoping that the state of Tennessee will get on board. And there are other municipalities that have done this too, Palo Alto, California, and a little town just outside of Greenville, North Carolina, Wilson, has their own municipal fiber. We by far have the largest and so far the most successful, but we encourage any municipality to be able to do this because it's a huge revenue generator. It's an economic generator, and anybody who knows, and Councilman, you probably agree with me on this, that if you want to reduce crime and you want to create jobs and you want to you want to make the community a better place, well, then you need to have economic development. And that means making change and taking risks every once in a while and taking steps in the right direction.
That's right. You know, Cynthia, we've talked a lot about and in other shows that I've done with you about how I think I have a fundamental kind of disagreement with how we do economic development in the city of Albany, sort of this top-down approach and this one-dimensional approach that whereas you have developers come in and they want to build apartment complexes and so forth, and the idea is to give them multi-million-dollar tax breaks over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and hope that that will trickle down to everyday people. We have to flip that and instead have grassroots economic development. There's different ways that I think to do that. One of those ways is municipal internet, and that starts from the ground up, literally and figuratively. And I think that if we start changing our frame of mind, how we think about economic development, we are going to see a much a city that really does thrive in terms of economic development. It is so important, and the proof is in other areas, such as Chattanooga. This is not something that is not tested. It has been tested and shown to be incredibly effective.
I can give you an example of some of that.
Go ahead, Brooke. I was going to ask you what benefits, what economic development benefits have occurred because of municipal internet?
Well, you read my mind. I was going to say that we have a variety of workforce here in Chattanooga. We have manufacturing, we have distilleries, we have, I'll give you an example. We have Volkswagen here, we have Komatsu here, we have Coca-Cola here, and a variety of other companies that have actually moved in as a result of having
mm-hmm.
this fiber infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
We are poised in a very unique position geographically, and I don't know if you know the story of Chattanooga, but back in the late 60s, we were touted as being the dirtiest and least economically friendly city in America. And in less than 20 years, we turned that around, and that whole process has continued to this day. And so we've brought in companies from all over the world. We've had companies relocate to this area, digital companies that were based out of San Francisco and various other areas. We have several data centers that have set up shop here just because of the infrastructure. As a city myself, as a CIO, we're looking to utilize this infrastructure to benefit ourselves and to benefit the citizens in ways that we can become more efficient. So we're looking to reduce our footprint from an IT perspective by optimizing our data centers and virtualizing everything and pushing everything off-site. So we have the bandwidth, so we don't have to worry about bandwidth issues. So there's been thousands of jobs created. We're just now starting to tap the surface, too, because we're just starting to get results back from some of the metrics that we were out looking for. And, the sky's the limit. We still haven't quite figured out everything to do with it. It's been wonderful.
Now you talked about Palo Alto, California. Have there been any other cities that are of the state government, that has the state government, have there been any other places in the United States that use municipal internet right now?
I know there are quite a few that are looking to move in that direction. I probably get 1 to 2 calls a week from CIOs in various cities and states all across the country and even Canada. I've been to Canada twice now, and I'm going back again later this year to talk on a smart cities forum to other municipalities on building their infrastructure. So it's kind of it's definitely out there. The only three that I know of for sure in the states is the one in North Carolina, Wilson, North Carolina, Palo Alto, and Chattanooga. But I know there are others that are working towards that goal. Atlanta, right up the road from us, is kind of setting the seeds to go in that direction as well.
Jed,
mm-hmm.
the stuff that Brent is talking about, how can we learn from what they're doing?
Well, there's a tremendous wealth of knowledge that I think places like Chattanooga, but other cities in the United States have, as far as, like I said, with economic development. I mean, the figures that Brett provided to you and to your listeners at the beginning about speed alone are absolutely staggering. I mean, to say that you can get a gigabyte speed internet for about $70 is unheard of, and it makes, I think, most people, it's jaw drops, at least from here, because that's how much you pay for a fraction of a fraction for internet. that's supposedly the highest speed here in the city of Albany. And I think that we have to, as Brett also said, if we are, if we want to grow as a city, and if we want to expand the access to jobs, to bring in companies, then we have to be willing to take some risks. There's no doubt about it. But what's so great about municipal internet is that other places have already taken the risk. So this is not, we are not, if we move in this direction, if Albany moves in this direction, which, you know, I'm going to continue to push that it does, we are not moving into uncharted territory. It's not like we will be alone in the woods. We will have people to reach out to in other municipalities that can help guide us along the way, to help show us what the right way to do it is and what the wrong way to do it is. Since other cities have already taken the dive, that, I think, makes it much easier for us here in Albany, in that case, any other municipality, to move forward with municipal internet. But what we're doing right now, as I said, is sort of the same kind of outdated, outmoded ways of trying to spur economic growth with massive tax abatements. And that is, it's totally one-dimensional. It's been going on for years and years and years and years. And we keep doing the same thing and getting the same result, which we, of course, we know is a definition of insanity. We have to do other things in the city of Albany to spur economic development, to spur job creation. And this is such a, I think, such a huge piece of that puzzle. But it is risky in the sense of when you're talking about politics, because when you're talking about big changes, when you're talking about radical reforms to an economic development process, I think that makes a lot of people uneasy. And, you know, let's be honest. The cable companies have a lot of money, and they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars in lobbying efforts to stop municipal internet from happening. There are pushes going on throughout this country to get the federal government and or state governments to put a halt on any effort for municipalities to create their own internet. Also at the local level too. So these are the folks with a lot of power, with a lot of money. But if we realize the potential that exists with municipal internet, no amount of money and no amount of perceived political power can overtake that groundswell of support from everyday people that we want a municipally owned, you know, citizen-owned internet service that outpaces private industry by tenfold, 20-fold, 30-fold. That's how we have to start thinking about things. And having that sort of change of paradigm, that mind shift when it comes to economic development is so important. And moving beyond municipal internet, being willing to do things differently, because as we know, for folks who are listening to the city of Albany, no, not a whole lot has changed as far as economic development. So we need to try new and innovative things, and sometimes things that are radical that might make people who have been around in politics a long time a little bit nervous, because change can be a little jarring. But we have to do this for our city, for our residents. It's the right thing to do, and it's such an exciting prospect that the sooner we can move on it, I think the better.
Brett, I have two questions. You said that it's in Palo Alto. Which state is Wilson in?
North Carolina.
Okay. My second question I'm going to ask you, then I'm going to ask Jed. When this was first proposed, what was the reaction of the council? Did they say, oh, yeah, let's go forward, or it's a good idea, or did a lot of people feel squeamish about it?
Well, we have a unique process here. Our electric power board is actually run, it's appointed by the mayor. So it's pretty much up to the entity, the EPB entity themselves, to make that decision. So council really don't have a say in it, which is actually a good thing, depending on how you look at it. So they Basically, we have a history in Chattanooga where we like to take risks, and we like to, as Judd said, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We try to not do that and say, well, if that didn't work, then what else can we do to make this happen? And how can we take things into our own hands and not rely on Comcast or some other entity that we have to just put up with whatever it is? So that was basically the mentality at the time. It's like, you know, we need to do something. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jed, when you first proposed it to the Common Council in Albany, what was the reaction of your colleagues?
Well, you know, there's the committee process, so the legislation that would create this commission to look into the logistics, financing, et cetera, of municipal internet. That legislation was assigned to the Economic Development Committee, rightfully so. But we, those of your listeners who stay attuned to Albany politics, understand the divisions that exist on the council. And the response from the majority of the committee was unfortunate. It was an immediate, there's no way that this can be done. This is pie in the sky kind of thinking. There's no way that we can afford this. And as a matter of fact, Councilmember Kathy Fahey was one of the most strident opponents of even setting up a commission to explore the feasibility of it. She wanted to see financing figures. She wanted to see a whole host of data points that in some cases don't even exist yet. For the sake of, I think, stonewalling a piece of legislation that actually would have no fiscal impact whatsoever on the city of Albany. And that's the other thing, too, is that there are people, a great many number of people in the city of Albany who have tremendous talent in the fields of IT and things that would involve the creation of a municipal internet structure. Folks who have reached out to me from Time Warner on a private, you know, one-to-one basis saying, you know, if you do this, I'm on board. We need to do this here. So we have the brain power right in the city of Albany that people would be willing to dive right in on a volunteer basis, do the hard work of figuring out the logistics, the financing, and so forth, and set up a sort of this framework for how to move forward. That will cost us nothing. There's the hunger there from our residents. There's the brain power that we have here. And not to mention, we are a city that has, as you know, numerous higher education institutions, SUNY Poly, SUNY Albany, St. Rose. All of these places of higher education are not only places to kind of tap into more brain power and make them stakeholders in this endeavor, but people, or entities, I should say, that would have a vested interest in seeing municipal internet become a reality in the city of Albany, because not only would they be able to brag about whatever programs that they provide as an institution, but that they are located in a city, in the capital of New York State, that provides world-class internet. And as has been shown very clearly from Chattanooga, looking at Chattanooga alone, it delivers some really profound results for a municipality. So I think that's the fact that we have the citizen engagement in place, the fact that we have the brain power in place, this thing is ready to go. We just need leadership at the city level to be willing to say, you know what, let's just take a look at this. Let's have people dive in, explore this, research it, which is, again, going to cost us nothing, and let's see what the outcome is. Let's see what we can do to make it a reality and then move forward. But I think to just stop the conversation that, well, this is just pie in the sky and you can't do it, it's unrealistic, is not very creative thinking. And it's what stymies progress. And we need to change that, and I keep saying over and over again, change our frame of mind when we think about how we deal with economic development in the city.
This is going to be an ongoing conversation. So Brent, as we evolve with this issue, can Jed and I call you from time to time and let you know how we do, how we're doing, and maybe get some advice, because we are the capital of New York State. During the past week, there's been many articles in which Andrew Cuomo is positioning himself to run for the presidency. Running for the presidency and having headquarters in a town, in a city that's a backwater city, absolutely blows my mind. I would like to see Albany a first-class city like Chattanooga, where things are modern and everything is vibrant. So from time to time, can we touch base with you, Brent?
Absolutely. Feel free to reach out anytime you like. And I've been to Albany, and I think it's a beautiful place. And I can tell you, Judd, you can say this to some of your fellow cohorts,
yep,
that, you know, even though you're a municipality, you're still competing. You're still a business, and you
absolutely
still have to compete just like any other business does. You just do it a little differently, and you have your funding
exactly
is a little differently, and your revenue model is a little differently, but you
exactly
still have to look at it in the way of revenue and of economic development. So if you think about
exactly
the pros and cons and whether or not you're going to see a return on that investment, the return is absolutely phenomenal. I mean,
absolutely.
I mentioned we have 1 gig, but this past year, we just released that we can do 10 gigs to the home. So, you know, what comes next? So
right,
if I can give
right,
you 10
right,
gigs
exactly
to your home, what comes next? And
yeah,
then what do we do with
yeah,
that
exactly
bandwidth? How do we do with it? And you know, it's just it's a
right
phenomenal thing that blows my mind
absolutely
when politicians
and like,
with lobbyists
and
get together
so much,
and fight
yeah
it.
Yeah, and you know, Albany does. It is a wonderful place. I wouldn't live here if I didn't think so. It is a tremendous city in so many different ways, particularly the folks that live here. And the potential, there's so much potential here that needs to be unleashed. And I think municipal internet is one of the ways to do it.
So the one question I have for you, Jed, and maybe Brent can ask, you know, you and I have talked about this a few times before, and I've spoken to a few people, you know, in Albany as I was walking. How do you get people to realize the importance of this? What do you say to them, Brent?
I'd say come visit Chattanooga.
And with me,
okay,
it's been a simple question of, you know, are you satisfied with Time Warner Cable? And, you know, 90% plus the people that I've spoken with, it's obviously not a scientific sample, but I think it's certainly indicative, will tell you absolutely not. It's expensive for bad service, bad customer service that they rip you off. And you hear the same, by the way. You know, we have this push from our current mayor to have Verizon Fios in here, and that presents a whole another host of nightmares for the consumer, very expensive, and locking into contracts.
Yeah.
So it's, while it's certainly a different and in some ways a better sort of internet model and system, it is by no means the ideal to have Verizon come in and get everybody in the city of Albany hooked into one-year contracts, whatever the case may be. But that's how bad the situation is in Albany as far as internet access, particularly, like I said, in our low-income areas. And if we can ensure in the next 10, 20 years that no matter where you are in the city, no matter where you fall in the income bracket, that you will always have access to internet, that will be a really wonderful thing. And the sky is the limit, as Brett mentioned, for what we can do with municipal internet. We just need, as so often is the case with big challenging issues, the political will. That seems to always be the biggest challenge in government when you're looking at these big foreboding challenges, is the will to do something different, to do something that could be viewed as radical, and to do something that takes a lot of work. As long as you get past that hurdle, and it is a high hurdle, then the path is clear for you, because the people want it, the benefits are obvious. It's just getting our elected officials either getting folks in there who have the courage or injecting our elected officials with the courage to move forward with these bold ideas.
I'm sure that all council members, all mayors, anybody that runs for a public office, they want to do what's good for the community. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it, correct? So if they do that, then one of the best things they can do for that community is to take control of that community and to be able to put that community in a position where it is where not only is it benefiting from said technology, but it's also benefiting the citizens. So you can leave it up to the private sector to come in and dictate how much bandwidth you'll have, you know, what kind of contracts you're going to work with, how bad are we going to rake you over the coals when it comes to price, and then upgrading fees and things like that, or the municipality can take it into their own hands and they can, you know, set it in the right course.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen. Happy New Year. And I look forward to an ongoing dialogue. I have enjoyed this. So you have been listening to Brent Messer, Chief Information Officer in Chattanooga, Tennessee, talking about municipal internet. Also, Albany Common Council Member Jed Crasher talking about Albany municipal internet. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, and if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. I am sure that I will keep this as an ongoing conversation. Thank you, gentlemen. I look forward to talking to you again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cynthia.